the use and abuse of the testimonies from the General Conference Bulletin, second quarter, 1899. As the end draws near and the work of giving the last warning to the world extends, it becomes more important for those who accept present truth to have a clear understanding of the nature and influence of the testimonies which God in His providence has linked with the work of the third angel's message from its very rise. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 5, page 654. Mark that this quotation does not raise the question of the importance of believing the testimonies, but of understanding their nature and influence. Those who have made a deep and prayerful study of the testimonies have certainly realized in a most practical manner the words of the psalmist, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation," Psalm 119:99. Hundreds of young men and women among us might have their former teachers for their present pupils had they appreciated the living rays of light which have, through this channel, permeated into the darkest recesses of almost every branch of human knowledge. It has always been God's purpose that His people should especially be made to lie down in green pastures. This is just as true in scientific knowledge and in methods of presenting and making a practical application of the same as in the purely spiritual truths. The Bible is the fountainhead of all truth, and any tree of knowledge whose taproot does not strike into its principles will vanish away, for every plant that my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. It is the work of the testimonies not to enumerate new principles of truth, but to point out and bring to the surface God's eternal truth. Right here is where so much misunderstanding has arisen in reference to the testimonies as to whether they were to be placed on an equality with the Bible, in place of the Bible, or as an addition to the Bible. As a matter of fact, the scope of the testimonies fills none of these. The Lord has pointed out the exact position that they occupy, and no one need to stumble over it. The written testimonies are not given to give new light, but to impress vividly upon the heart the truths of inspiration already revealed. Volume 2, page 605. In short, the testimonies are to take the truths of God's Word and hold them up before the mind in such a manner that His lasting impression shall be made, as was left upon our minds when perhaps our home burned down, or when we were an eyewitness of some frightful accident, or in the words of the quotation, to impress vividly. Additional truth is not brought out, but God has, through the testimonies, simplified the great truths already given. Volume 2, page 605. In such a principle of truth as is stated in the words, "Glorify God in your body and in your spirit," the casual reader perceives little. But when God shifts His great telescope, the testimonies, to this verse, and adjusts the focus, we see how this test applies to habits of daily life, even to such simple things as clothing, diet, and exercise. In a drop of water that may hang on the point of a cambric needle, the ordinary eye discovers nothing. Yet let the scientist put it under his microscope, and if it has been properly inoculated, it will reveal myriads of animal forms that are perfectly developed. Some would say, "Oh, the microscope added all that," and would perhaps argue for hours to prove that what they now see could not possibly have been in the water before, and apparently they may have the best of the argument. In like manner, I have frequently heard of many of our brethren spending a great deal of time arguing that certain things they see in the testimonies could not possibly be in the Bible, for identically the same reason that others could not, with their naked eye, see the animal forms in the drop of water. Again, the testimonies are not to belittle the Word of God, but to exalt it and attract minds to it, that the beautiful simplicity of truth may impress all. Volume 2, page 606. Then, if the testimonies are read in the proper spirit, the Bible will seem more exalted, the mind attracted to it as though it were a magnet. And where the truths expressed in the Bible seem hazy, the testimonies bring them out in clear lines. We often hear people say, don't do so-and-so because it is condemned by the testimonies. Bear in mind that this is not what makes it wrong. The particular thing is wrong in itself, and the testimonies in love and tenderness only point out the fact. For instance, if I point out to a stranger who passes my door that the bridge over the creek below my house is unsafe for him to cross, my telling him that is not what makes the bridge unsafe. I am only pointing out that fact to him. Thousands of people have been driven away from the testimonies, and the Bible too, for that matter, because those who used them did not recognize that the things which they condemned were destructive in their very nature. There is no one who mingles much with our people, but whose heart must be made to ache continually by the misquotations, to say nothing of misinterpretations, frequently made by well-meaning people who themselves try hard to believe the thought that their perverted quotations seem to convey, and insist that others must do the same because it is in the testimonies. Only recently, a very prominent man who, with his wife, had just embraced the truth, came to me in great distress of mind, stating that his wife was completely discouraged and confused because during the day one of our sisters had visited her and had told her of a most unreasonable thing that she said the testimonies taught, and assured her that she must believe it in order to be in harmony with this people. I am glad that I was able to deny that such an inconsistent thing could be found in any statement of God's revealed will. Only the day of God will fully show the harm that has come from garbling and misquoting the testimonies. In order for anyone to absolutely avoid doing this, the proper plan to adopt is to have a book in which may be written the substance of what is likely to be used again, with the accompanying reference classified under separate heads. Anyone who perseveringly follows this plan will find in a few years that he has accumulated and has ready access to the very choicest gems in the testimonies. To illustrate what I mean, I will turn at random to several pages of a book, Index Rerum, in which I thus began 8 years ago to classify statements from the Spirit of Prophecy. Under the subject of testimonies, I have written as suggestive of the full quotations, should not be criticized or flippantly spoken of. Volume 4, page 443. Under subject of feeling and emotions, Satan can give feelings and impressions, therefore not safe guide. Signs of the Times, number 19, 1884. Under subject of Christ to us, takes our ungrammatical prayers, presents them graceful and perfect to the Father. Review and Herald, number 9, 1893. Under the subject of surrendering and trusting, if we could see the end from the beginning, would of ourselves choose to be led through the experience we pass through now. Desire of Ages, page 225. Under the subject of promises, not to be rashly claimed by those who violate laws of nature and disregard prudence. This is presumption. Volume 4, page 45. Under each of these heads and hundreds of others similar, there naturally accumulates in the course of a few years scores of grand and beautiful thoughts. And while perhaps the idea of an entire paragraph is condensed into the brief space of a line on a book, yet the accompanying reference enables one instantly to turn to the original source and refresh his mind with the full thought as well as the context. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 4, page 440, points out the case of one of whom it was said that he possessed so little spirituality he could not understand the value of the testimonies nor their real object. May heaven save us as workers from falling into such a condition. The men and women in our ranks today who are keeping step with the message and giving the trumpet a certain sound are those whose volumes of the testimonies are well worn and the margins of whose Bible are literally sprinkled with references to the testimonies where they have shed glorious light on the opposite text. The worker who, as soon as the wrapper is taken from the review, earnestly and prayerfully reads the first page article is the one who upon the Sabbath day in the church, in the evening effort in the tent, or to a congregation of drunkards and harlots in the mission, is preaching a living gospel from the Bible. David Paulson. The end of the Spalding McGann collection.